Part 6 of Knowing God Deeper, by Grant Lee Morris.
Author of the netburst.net website.
You do not have because you do not ask, says James 4. This applies not only to prayer but to being more ignorant about God than needed because we have not asked Him questions. One of the biggest issues in our spiritual life is that we keep expecting the Lord to make the next move, when He has already humbly done astonishingly more than enough, and He is waiting for us. Likewise, most of us are needlessly waiting for God to take the initiative in revealing things to us, when He is waiting for us to show enough interest and faith to ask Him questions. You know how many questions little children ask. That's just another reason why, as Jesus said, we should humble ourselves and become as little children. Take this to heart, and we might even end up learning as fast as they do. The disciples not only asked Jesus lots of questions, it was a primary way that they learned about God. Here's a few examples taken direct from the Gospels.
Why do you speak to them in parables?
Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?
Why weren't we able to cast it out?
Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?
Tell us, when will these things be? What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
It isn't me, is it, Lord?
Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Lord, who is going to betray you?
Lord, what has happened that you are about to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?
And there are many more.
Don't try telling yourself that you don't have this option because you are not special like the disciples. I have entire web pages devoted to proving that no one is more loved or more special to God than you. See the link, Receiving a Deeper Revelation of God's Astonishing Love for You, at the end of the web page. Likewise, the link, The Most Tortured Conscience Can Find Peace, is the first of a series of web pages proving that if you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, that's right, all sin, and when that happens, no one in the universe can be more forgiven or more cleansed than you. Furthermore, many people besides the disciples asked Jesus questions and received invaluable replies. In fact, although it would take a while for an accurate survey, my rough count silence millisecond equals 50/suggests the Gospels record Jesus being asked more questions by those who were not his disciples than by those who were. For example,
why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast?
Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?
Why then did Moses command us to give her a certificate of divorce and divorce her?
Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
All these things I have observed from my youth. What do I still lack?
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?
Lord, are they few who are saved?
Then who can be saved?
How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
So where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob?
What must we do, that we may work the works of God?
How do you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?
And again there are many more.
Also, don't try telling yourself that those who asked Jesus questions when he was on earth were more privileged because he was with them in the flesh. Jesus insisted that even those who could physically see and hear him were better off by him leaving, and that this would give them greater, not less, access to spiritual truth.
John 16. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Counselor won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I have yet many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you things that are coming. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and will declare it to you. Until now, and remember that he was about to leave earth, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full.
John 14. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another Counselor, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world can't receive, for it doesn't see him, neither knows him. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Some people, why is everyone looking at me, can get very discouraged when they ask God something, and are greeted with icy silence. They need reminding that just as prayer is not always instantly answered, even though the answer eventually comes for those who persist, so it is with answered questions. Our faith is critically important to God, and as frustrating and counterintuitive as this truth is, it is delays that end up doing the most for developing our faith. Not only do delays to answered prayer stretch and strengthen our faith, having to hold on by raw faith without being given any reason for that delay, also strengthens our faith. When not being given the reasons for a delay has suitably strengthened faith, however, I've found over and over that God eventually gives me reasons. I once heard a sermon titled, God is Slow. Boy, ain't that the truth. For example, the Lord showed Daniel something he couldn't make head or tail of. So he asked God, what in the world was all that about? At least that's my version. You could have heard the crickets chirping half a mile away. But instead of sulking, Daniel kept on asking for an answer for 3 weeks of fasting until finally an angel turned up. Then, and only then, was his question answered, plus he was told the reason for the delay. Questions that take us deeper into God's heart are particularly important, such as,
how do you feel about this situation, Lord? What breaks your heart? Is there any way I can comfort you? How can I better be your friend?
Then there are important questions about ourselves, such as,
what would you like me to do differently? Am I needlessly carrying burdens? How can I be freed from them? Is there any way I'm emotionally or spiritually crippled? What can do I do to be healed and reach my full potential for your glory?
Some people say, ask God a question, and the first thing that comes into your mind is God. That's certainly been my experience, except that it is usually the millionth thing that pops into my mind. I admit it, I might have exaggerated. Perhaps it's way beyond a million thoughts. Call me weird, but I don't make it a habit to count how many thoughts flit through my mind every year. The point is that even though it takes faith and the memory of an elephant to realize it, God eventually gets around to telling me what I need to know. To my frustration, however, it is in his perfect time, not mine, and in the way he chooses, which, to my exasperation, is often an inconvenient moment and comes in mere dribbles rather than an impressive gush and in thoughts that seem indistinguishable from my own. Like Elisha telling Naaman to have a bath, 2 Kings 5, it's easy to get offended by the way God does things. Doesn't God care that I want it to be quick and more dramatic so that I feel special? Isn't he concerned that I already feel too pathetically inferior to ever show my face in the presence of all the spiritual hotshots with their flashy testimonies? Even if I'm kicking and screaming or sulking the whole way, and I usually am, he prefers to force me to grow in faith in his love, rather than giving me signs and goosebumps that require almost no faith to believe he really cares about me. Even I can believe God has spoken if he announces it with 10,000 angels. I might even settle for a few hundred, in dazzling white nighties in the presence of a million human witnesses, although a commemorative video would be nice, just in case at some time in the future I begin to worry that it was just my imagination. At the heart of my beef with God is that I keep thinking that spectacular displays cause faith to grow, but they merely cause spiritual laziness to grow and faith to atrophy. To say, if God really cared, he would have done it this way, is to abandon faith in God. It is to stop believing in his love, goodness, and wisdom. What one is really saying when making such a statement is, if God loved me as little as I do and were as short-sighted and dull-witted and as intoxicated by my own yearnings as I am, he would have acted differently. Silences do not mean God doesn't care, nor that you have less faith than someone who gets a quicker response. Silences do, however, and this will shock you, mean that God is smarter than me. Let's hear some scriptures that describe the heart of those who will keep knowing God with ever-increasing depth.
Psalm 63. God, you are my God. I will earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, in a dry and weary land, where there is no water. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I remember you on my bed and think about you in the night watches. My soul stays close to you.
Psalm 27. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the Lord's house all the days of my life, to see the Lord's beauty and to inquire in his temple.
Psalm 84. My soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would tear the heavens, that you would come down.
Daniel 9. I set my face to the Lord God, to seek by prayer and petitions, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes.
Acts 5. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name.
Philippians 3. I count all things to be a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them nothing but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, so that I may take hold of that for which also I was taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I don't regard myself as yet having taken hold, but one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way.
1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Merely reading these scriptures helps motivate me. There are still more in the web page, and at the end of it is a link to Christian Insights into Martyrdom and Persecution. Like the command to love the Lord with every fiber of our being, this is not an invitation to lounge around, hoping that one day we will be struck by a desire to try harder. It's up to us to intensify our efforts and make pleasing God and spending time with Him top priority.
Getting to know God is by no means a continually painful or dreary process. So, lest anyone get the wrong impression, in the next session we will explore ways to enjoy God more and put ourselves under less pressure.